The good news for this morning is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, beginning at the 12th verse. You can find that on page 1135 in your pew Bibles. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he went away to Galilee. He did not stay in Nazareth, but went to live in Capernaum, a town by Lake Galilee, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was done to make come true what the prophet Isaiah had said. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, on the road to the sea, on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee, land of the Gentiles. The people who live in darkness will see a great light. On those who live in the dark land of death, the light will shine. From that time, Jesus began to preach his message, "Turn away from your sins, because the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus walked along the shore of Lake Galilee, he saw two brothers who were fishermen, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, catching fish in the lake with a net. Jesus said to them, "Come with me, and I will teach you to catch people." At once, they left their nets and went with him. He went on and saw two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in their boat with their father Zebedee, getting their nets ready. Jesus called them, and at once they left the boat and their father and went with him. Jesus went all over Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news about the kingdom, and healing people who had all kinds of disease and sickness. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. At once they left. At once, Peter and Andrew left their fishing nets. At once, James and John left their boat. But what about the other guy? There were five people mentioned in our text. What about James and John's father? Why didn't he go too? What about Zebedee? At Thursday morning's Bible study, someone said, "Yeah, when I read this, I always wonder, what is Dad thinking when his two sons leave and take off? Why does he stay behind?" Another participant jokingly responded, "Well, old people aren't allowed." We had been talking about this story that's been in the news about the Methodist Church in Cottage Grove, where they've reportedly told their older members not to come back. Have you heard about that? I have a Methodist friend who says it's not really like that. But this story has hit a nerve. I've heard talk about it this week. So, sensational reporting aside, it doesn't feel good to feel like you are being left behind. So I wonder about Zebedee. Was he just not invited? I really have a hard time believing that, and I hope you do too. I believe that Jesus invites us all into a life of faith, that Jesus calls all of us to follow him. So I don't think it was that Zebedee wasn't invited. But do you wonder why didn't he go too? Maybe Zebedee's just the cautious type. You know, where there's that wisdom and maturity of older generations in contrast to the young impulsivity and enthusiasm. Maybe he was annoyed at the impulsivity of his sons. You know, those young people running off, doing crazy things, not really thinking and making plans. Did he just stand there shaking his head at his sons? Maybe he sarcastically called after them, "Oh, don't worry about me. I'll be here all by myself getting the nets ready." But Zebedee stands out, doesn't he? After all, four other men got up and left nets and boats and followed Jesus, and Zebedee stays behind. But I don't think that makes him a bad guy. I think that makes him a good representation of many of us who maybe aren't just quite ready for adventure. Or for many of us who like to be prudent and thoughtful and plan things out and know what the next steps are, take things slow. Maybe he's like someone who really doesn't like change and is quite content, thank you very much, with their life just as it is. Maybe that is you. Now, it's interesting. One commentator says Zebedee can be a cautionary tale for us. We can't stay behind in the boat and still end up where Jesus is going. Spiritual growth implies change, and change suggests risk. So if we hold ourselves back from change and risk, we are tying ourselves to something other than the love of God. So I think we eventually need to get out of the boat. So what about Zebedee? But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Those of you that know me know that if I started wondering about Zebedee, I am also going to start wondering about his wife. After all, James and John wouldn't have a father without a mother, right? And so even though she does not get a mention specifically here in this text, I started to wonder, well, what about their mother? What does she think about this? And I started to imagine, well, what about that shock when Zebedee comes home that night, walks in the house, and she says, "Well, sit down for dinner, boys." And Zebedee has to explain that the boys aren't with him, that they're gone, and they're not coming back. What would her mother's heart have felt like? What would it have been like for Zebedee and his wife to go to sleep that night at the end of the day, knowing their sons had left home to follow Jesus? What are they thinking? Are they worried? Where do they go from here? Well, whatever happened to Zebedee, we really don't know. The Bible doesn't say. Maybe he is afraid of change. Or maybe he's the one who says, "You go on, boys. I'm going to keep the family business going." Or maybe he's struggling with some health issue and doesn't feel strong enough to go. Who knows? However, we do know something about Zebedee's wife. Now, even though I don't like it that we have all these nameless women in the Bible, and I don't like it that she is only referred to as Zebedee's wife, and she doesn't have her own name, she does get mentioned in Matthew 2 times. In Matthew 20, She is the woman, the mother who comes alongside of her sons, and she comes to Jesus and she asks him for a favor. Promise me that these two sons of mine will sit at your right and your left when you are king. A bold, audacious ask, right? Wow, asking this of Jesus. And she's there, close with him. I think that indicates that somewhere along the line, she started following Jesus too. That she has this kind of close relationship to go up to him and ask him this. And if that doesn't indicate it, later in Matthew chapter 27, she is with the group of women at the cross as Jesus dies. It says, there were many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee and helped him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the wife of Zebedee. She may not have a name, but she is there in the inner circle with Jesus' mother, ministering, helping, behind the scenes, and at a most difficult time. So, what happens between our story from today and then? How does she end up there? Could it be that she and her husband came to faith and to following Jesus through their sons, because they took off and followed Jesus? You know how that works, right? How kids call parents to account. They teach us new things. They keep us going, right? Youthful enthusiasm can be contagious and exciting. Grandchildren push us. Children push us. Neighbor kids push us to open up and step out of our comfort zone sometimes. I know I would be woefully out of touch and even more unhip than I am if it weren't for my own daughters. I learn so much from them every day. So today we're celebrating Camp Sunday. That's why I'm dressed like this. Bible camp is a wonderful place for encouraging this youthful enthusiasm. Bible camp is a place where they say, our young people here, come follow Jesus. But also, I know that some days it feels like there is a huge generation gap in society, in our church, that young and old are not always understanding each other. We have one group feeling left behind and another group feeling held back. But this faith community of Calvary Lutheran Church and beyond needs everybody. We are all called to follow Jesus. We need to learn from each other the wisdom of the elder and the youth. This morning, you are all invited to stay and come downstairs for all ages Sunday school. That's why we do this, to connect and learn from each other. I bet Mr. and Mrs. Zebedee had already encouraged faith in their sons. How else would they be so open to taking hold of what Jesus was calling them to do? They were important in the formation of their sons. But it could also be that through James and John, Zebedee and the missus come to know Jesus better. I think Zebedee could encourage his sons, go follow him. It's a great opportunity. I'll stay home and take care of things. and their mother. Maybe some point they pass through their hometown. Well, why don't you boys invite your friend Jesus over for dinner and bring the rest of the 12 boys too? And somehow this family comes together, Zebedee and his wife, and James and John, and probably many others. And they all start following Jesus in their own way. James and John leave at once to follow Jesus. And their action has this ripple effect, I am sure, bringing other people to faith as well. We are all called to follow Christ, young and old, parent and child, generation to generation. So let's let our lives be a reflection of God's grace, sharing love and forgiveness and hope, so that others may know Christ and follow him. Vicar David shared with me this beautiful quote by Madeline L'Engle. We draw people to Christ not by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it. In this Epiphany season, we talk about sharing the light. So let us be that light that comes to the darkness. Let us get out of the boat. Come and follow Jesus. You never know what a difference it will make.